Welcome back. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Again, I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We're all Road Warriors, those who'd esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discourse. It is always interesting. And it's going to get more interesting, I think, based on this little nugget. But first, let me give you the high points of that playlist that I mentioned. It's posted in the chat area. The Gladio Effect, Strategy of Tension. The Strategy of Tension from Operation Gladio is designed to get folks to hop into the lap of their kidnapper and hug their kidnapper and say, "Save me, state, save me from your false flag nonsense that is designed to get me to ask you for greater security," and so forth. And just incidentally, I think it's interesting, and I've talked about some of the misdirection in all of this. When the gun control debate comes up, first of all, gun control is a misnomer. And I've done several broadcasts on this, but what most people erroneously call gun control is, well, let me back up. The more time goes on, the more this event, I'm going to try to put all of this in one little soundbite. The more time goes on, the more this event, like most, seems to best fit a Gladio strategy of tension scenario, as I said the other day. In other words, it makes the most sense that context, in that context, and most of the pieces fit in that context. Otherwise, like Sheriff Lombardo says, Ray Romano / Kermit the Frog, you got to make the assumption he had help at some point. I mean, and we want to ensure that's the answer. Maybe he's a super guy, not a superhero. Not a hero. I won't use that word, but a super yahoo. So Stephen Paddock is a super yahoo with a secret life we don't know about, spent hours every day in high-stakes online gambling and, you know, hours a day in high roller areas of casinos like Mandalay Bay, 7-8 hours sometimes, but we can't seem to locate a single photo of him in Vegas. Gosh, he really is a super yahoo. The more time goes on, the more this event, like most, seems to best fit a Gladio strategy of tension scenario. In other words, it makes the most sense in that context. And most of, if not all, the pieces fit in that context. Like I said yesterday, if we're talking about two suspects, suspect A, suspect B. Suspect A, a man with nothing to gain, even though the media tries to run headlines that say, you know, he planned to survive and had what did he stand to gain? No political affiliation, no religious affiliation, no apparent motive. Nothing to gain, who rigs his suite with three cameras, very intricately rigs, you know, two in a hotel service cart, one in the peephole of the door, so that he knows when to shoot himself in the head. What could possibly be the reason for that? Suspect B, on the other hand, who incidentally accuses A of the crime, has a history of lying, deceiving, creating scenarios very similar to the crime it's accusing A of, by the way, to justify its existence and secretive plans, and stands to gain tremendously and profit handsomely from the inevitable uptick in surveillance and security, the security state apparatus. Which suspect would you investigate? Kind of self-explanatory, you know? So with that in mind, the Gladio strategy of tension scenario that seems to be playing out in the media, whether contrived, fomented, or otherwise, it's just, it happens accidentally or on purpose. So some of the questions that you'll see in that playlist pertaining to the Las Vegas incident. After Vegas massacre, GOP on board with ban of bump stocks? Question mark. That's from Fox Business. Fox Business. Lone wolf attacks, the biggest risk in the U.S.? Question mark. Fox Business. Another Fox Business. Do stricter gun laws improve safety? Question mark. Do you see how all of these sound like the devil asking the question? Did God really say? Sure, Job serves you, but doesn't he only serve you because you gave him everything? Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, it's that question with the implicit untruth in it, or the redaction of truth in it, which is the same thing. Another question, Fox Business, will technology play a key role in preventing the next mass shooting? Fox News, are guns the issue or the people who use them? Question mark. Fox News. And I focus on Fox News in this case because everyone kind of expects what they refer to as the liberal establishment news outlets, CNNs, MSNBCs, etc., to kind of do this kind of thing. But this is just evidence of how every outlet is folding into this narrative. It's creeping in everywhere. But it's really not creeping in. It's being pushed, right? Another question, Fox News. Should Congress ban bump stocks? How about this one? Fox News. Can future Las Vegas tragedies be prevented? To me, that's one of the best. That's emblematic of this suggestibilist MO. Can future Las Vegas tragedies be prevented? Well, not really. But, you know, we can push all of this security and so forth nonsense and pretend that it can, right? So that's a few of those. I'll talk more about the strategy of tension Gladio effect here in a minute. But the Second Amendment, let's touch on that. Because that's a completely fallacious, specious discussion. It always is. You always hear, you know what, no one needs this for, you know, who needs, I mean, that classic remark, you know, who needs a 30-round magazine for self-defense? What does the Second Amendment have to do with self-defense, personal defense? It has nothing, zero, to do with personal defense because, as I pointed out before, it doesn't say anything about self-defense. And so what's ironic is for those who would say, hey, we want greater security, fantastic, that's exactly what the Second Amendment talks about. I mean, what does it say? I think I'm going to go somewhere on the street and talk to folks, and both sides of the issue, both contrived sides. How do you feel about the Second Amendment? And by the way, what does the Second Amendment say? Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, what does self-defense and hunting have to do with the Second Amendment? Nothing. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Why did the founders write that? First of all, first question, why did they write that? Did they have a background of knowledge in this? What James Madison warned about specifically, the father of the Constitution, we have not only ignored, we have institutionalized the very organism that he warned against. We've institutionalized it and professionalized it, and it's one of the greatest burgeoning industries. I mean, if you want to make $1 billion, shoot, man, you start a G4S or a DynCorp or a Triple Canopy or a Blackwater slash, what was the other name before Z? Blackwater slash Z slash Academy or something like that. And you're rolling in the money. Or you provide information and technology resources to said apparatchiks and you're a billionaire. Awesome. I've mentioned it before. I'll say it again. In QTEL, the CIA's venture capital front company, which, you know, that kind of fascism is just staggering. The CIA started a venture capital company to basically conscript technology to the broader intelligence community, dirty work, I would say. That's how I would put it. Now it serves the broader intelligence community. But it's interesting. Two things strike me as just profoundly stunning that don't concern the American people, and it just goes unreported. And to that point, the broader issue is there are essentially two narratives, and I've tried to explain. The thing that bothers me about all of this the most is that there are two narratives. You watch the White House press briefing, the daily press briefing, or you watch Sheriff Lombardo, Under Sheriff McCahill, so forth, and any kind of incident like this, there's the staged production out front, the public presentation places everyone. But then what's happening behind the scenes, backstage, is completely different. And it's astonishing to me that folks aren't concerned. Breonna Hendricks is talking about how they were warned, concertgoers were warned 45 minutes in advance, you're all going to die. And no one thinks that's important to investigate. The news anchor downplays it. Well, we don't want to talk about conspiracies, even though this is the establishment narrative is it's a conspiracy by one super yahoo who may have had help. But never mind that. No possible, you know, other shooters. And sure, if there are other shooters, how do you explain things like shells and things? I'm not convinced that it wasn't an orchestrated op from different rooftops, and you know, a sound cannon type of a scenario to mask the shooting, the real shooting. And then once that was over and the cannons were going, in the concert area, the actual weapons were rushed to the room in question. Who knows? I don't know, but it's odd just looking at the room, the way the room looks staged. We'll see. We'll see what ballistics show. Hopefully, you know, that isn't redacted too, but It's all very troubling. Anyway, back to the Second Amendment. We'll go to the phones here in a second. And I got to get back to Batman versus Superman, because that's just another bizarre wrinkle in the narrative. So the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Where is the well-regulated militia? No one cares. No one knows. It doesn't matter. So maybe we don't need to keep and bear arms anymore because, you know, we're not concerned with security. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Apparently, we're not concerned with the security of a free state. Do we even have a free state anymore? So you back out of that soundbite. Free state, nah. Security, don't need it. Well-regulated militia, don't need it either. So, gosh, maybe we should just all hand our guns over. Anyway, so, again, backing out, it has been obviously overwhelmingly seized upon by a certain contingent. This incident, in just this kind of fashion, the Gladio strategy of tension style fashion, namely what I would call capitulatory arms confiscation. That's what's happening. It's not a Second Amendment discussion. It's a capitulatory arms confiscation, what most people erroneously call gun control. It's not that. It's capitulatory arms confiscation or surrender. Greater surveillance and more ostensible emergency exercises. I mentioned some of the drills the other day that, you know, Rahm Emanuel, hey, no, we do drills all the time. We've done six in anticipation of the marathon coming up, the upcoming marathon. So it's terrible. How about we change our culture? You know, how about we have the intelligence community not create terrorists and terrorist plots? How about we not have psychotropics? There are all kinds of reports and stories and investigative series being done in recent months on the drug epidemic. One nation overdosed. And we can't figure out that maybe drugs are the problem? Maybe psychotropics and SSRIs that shut down your body's natural serotonin production are a problem? Maybe we shouldn't create psychopaths. Maybe we shouldn't have a culture that heralds sociopaths in business and other places. Maybe we shouldn't lift up the hysterical attention-seeking psychopath that Alan Watt talks about so eloquently. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should get back to reading the Bible. Maybe virtue, morality, and religion are the antidote. Not banning bump stocks. And you can 3D print those. You'd be able to 3D print anything, including non-metallic guns. Very soon. Everyone can. And I shouldn't say that because that's part of the point that I was getting to the other day. The fact that this whole narrative, these narratives are training copycats. You know that. We've talked about that on this network. It's disturbing. So anyway, back to the point about InQtel and this just overrun of the institutionalizing of what James Madison warned against. InQtel, CIA's front venture capital front company. Two things, the two most disturbing observations about InQtel to me, in my estimation, are there are two big brags. The one that they say 70% of the companies that they work with have never worked with the government before. So basically, all of these tech companies are being conscripted to evil. That's the way I would put it. 70% have not worked with the government. InQtel shows up and they all go, yeah, we like lots of money. Sure, why not? We will do whatever you want us to do. You'll pay us how much? How many obscene amounts of wheelbarrows, truckloads of specious currency, FRNs? Cool, we'll do it. That's the first disturbing observation. 70%, according to InQtel, of the companies they invest in, it invests in, have never worked with the federal government before. And second, for every dollar InQtel invests in something, according to them, at last count, $11. The venture capital community invests $11. It has become a rudder of technological innovation and development. In other words, InQtel invests in something, and all of the angels and VCs go, you know what? We want to make another billion. If InQtel's doing it, obviously the CIA gets what the CIA wants, the NSA, NRO, etc. So we might as well make another billion. Heck, why not? So we have institutionalized the very thing James Madison warned against. What a sick culture. Think about that. And we're haggling over specious nonsense. It's astonishing. I don't know if you think if it's as disturbing to you as it is to me, but I mean, where to even begin on Soundbites? We'll go to the phones right after the short break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Let's go to the phones real quick and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, I appreciate it. You know, a couple things. First of all, to the sheriff, Proverbs comes to mind. He that answers a matter before he heareth it is a shame and folly to him. So you got to look at it. You can't, if you answer a question without knowing anything about it, you come to a conclusion, it's foolishness. The other thing I had for you, just so people know, I didn't come up with this. This was given to me this morning. Someone repeated it on Twitter, and I'm not on Twitter. If anyone thinks that this was not a false flag, and I'm sure that most people listening to RBN believe and know that it was, but this is something that will open the eyes of people. This was called the Route 91 Harvest Festival. It occurred in October, the 10th month, on the first day of the month. If you take Route 91, 10 being the month of October and 1 being the day, and line them up, you have 9/11/01. It's clear, folks, this was a false flag. Were people hurt? we're told they have been. I don't know. I'd like to hope and pray that they weren't, but I can't say that they were either. So that's what I had, short and sweet today. I hope people didn't get hurt. I kind of think people did get hurt. Here's something that I was just, while I was on hold, a friend of mine called. He's got a, and we're all ex-Air Force, he's got a friend that apparently infiltrated an Antifa forum or chat room. And he was told not to go to Las Vegas on September 11th because apparently three black, and this was known about on September 10th, three black vans were going to show up. And if you don't be there on the 11th, if you're there, don't go around crowds. If you're there, get out. So here I was listening to the police scanner Monday morning early, and I'm hearing the police scanner talk about three black armored cars, and they're escorting Frank Sinatra, is what they said. So I take that as a code, FS. These three black armored cars are escorting Frank Sinatra. Well, who's Frank Sinatra? You know, according to what I understand, it's any VIP in Vegas, any high-level VIP, any dignitary, anybody that comes in that needs extreme security becomes Frank Sinatra, just like, you know, I guess the president. But in any case, supposedly to install security systems, and this event was to transpire September 11th. When it did, everyone would want this new security system. Now, whether or not there's any truth to what I'm saying, as far as that, I have no idea. But I do know that it was Route 91 on October the 10th month on the first day. I do know that that is 9/11/01. That's what I had. I'll listen. If anyone's got any comments, I'd be happy to hear it.
Right on. Well, I appreciate your remarks as always, John. And you know, again, I mean, I've talked about some of the peculiarities, inconsistencies, oddities, and like I said, I'll try to put that together a little more tightly and succinctly in a way that. And it's interesting, you know, folks will say, "Oh, you know, don't get conspiratorial." This was a conspiracy. Whatever the conspiracy was. If it was just the super Yahoo, Stephen Craig Paddock, acting on his own accord, of his own volition, it's still a conspiracy, isn't it? Someone planning in secret to do something bad. So it's interesting how the mind is encouraged to run away from those kinds of things. We're not supposed to investigate a matter fully. We're just supposed to assume. Anyway, we'll go back to the phones when we come back from this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's broadcast. I'm overwhelmed, to say the least. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Paul in New Jersey. Paul, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris.
Paul.
I have an argument that for the pro-gunners out there. First of all, we should be unflinching in our pro-Second Amendment stance. And a good line of argumentation is that the guns already have prevented communism over the past 80 years from taking over the United States. And by that alone, you could say they've already saved millions of lives. Second of all, if you think of the typical murder rate by guns every year, it's about 10,000 a year. So if that's a typical living in America lifestyle. Over 100 years, that'll be a million people. I would argue that if the communists took over, and without guns, over a 100-year period of time, they would likely take over at some point, then they would easily murder more than just 1 million people in a short period of time with a disarmed populace as they move ethnic groups to and fro, right, liquidate certain classes of undesirables, and exactly what happened in the Soviet Union under the Bolsheviks and under Stalin. Mm-hmm. They mass murdered entire groups of people and forced them into starvation. as they did in Ukraine. And so 10,000 a year is something to put up with and to tolerate. It's a cost. Now, by the way, of those 10,000, I would argue if you took guns away, 5,000 of those people would be murdered with another implement or some other means.
Exactly. And, I mean, Edmonton proves that among all of the other incidents that we've seen recently.
Yeah, so you could say this is like the economy of life. And that guns, you know, the economic owning of guns, sure, there's pathologies associated with, these occasional murders and madmen that shoot up the place. But nonetheless, we're still saving millions and millions of lives by having guns, I would argue.
Yeah.
And we should be unflinching about it. And we should also remind many of the neocon Zionist types that, and it does seem to be coming often from the Zionist neocon types are even anti-gun. That is, I would argue, is part of the Zionist Jewish fringe, too. They seem to have a very gun-hating attitude because I think they're constantly working for a soft point to a communist takeover, because I argued that Jews were in on communism and played a major role in communism, and that they use communism to select Russians.
Well, first, let's define terms. Who do we mean when we say Jew? And second of all, I would say political Zionist. But, and then to your point, John Spivak wrote about that in his article series in the wake of the McCormick-Dickstein Committee hearings, and the fact that they basically redacted and occluded all of the good stuff, so to speak, that Smedley Butler had to say. So, absolutely.
Yeah, well, if you look at what Solzhenitsyn's writings, and also about the writings of Chilton's, I think his name is, Robert Chilton, the guy who wrote The Last Days of the Romanovs, they provide a list of, you know, the ethnic makeup of the Soviet Politburo back in 1918 or so, and it is vastly, you know, if Jews are 3% of the Russian population, they make up 80%, and this over-representation shows that they basically took over and ran communism. Also, I would argue their over-representation in the Cheka and in many of the massacres, even in Katyn, too, which they tried to frame on the Nazis. So, you know, I just see this as the constant struggle in the United States, because part of the struggle I see is between the Jewish minority with a lot of money and a lot of intelligence and positions of power, like the Rothschilds, the Zuckerbergs, the Googles, you know, the Sergey Brin, the Larry Page.
Right.
So they're very powerful, and they're steering us towards communism, because communism is a great way to rob the Gentiles, the way I see it.
Well, you know, just to your point real quick, and I always think it's important to define terms. Like I said, I think John Spivak put it best. His article series was published back in 1935 on the McCormick-Dickstein Committee hearings, and the series was titled Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy. I think it becomes problematic when we say it's this group, because the way bad guys work, they're like cockroaches. They'll scurry back into darkness and use some other front group, or, you know, they're great at headless leadership and things like that. So I think the way that Thomas Jefferson put it, to no ambition under all its forms, or, you know, Andrew Jackson expressed similar sentiments, to kind of look at things that way and
at that time period, though, the Jews didn't have full spectrum domination like they have now. I would argue they have full spectrum media domination.
I think using that term is problematic.
Gentile domination. Yeah.
You know, again, if you use the term Jews, you lump in folks that aren't included in the nefarious plot, so to speak, and you don't necessarily single out all of the right people. So, you know, I think it's problematic, and maybe we can agree to disagree on that. But the way that John Spivak put it in his series, Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy, testimony that the Dickstein Committee suppressed. And by the way, if folks read that, go look it up. you will see that he included Spivak in his article series, included the infographic, as they're called today, I would say, the names, the actual names of folks and institutions. It was titled "The Intricate Structure of Wall Street Fascist Conspiracy." It includes all of the names: Kuhn Loeb, Remington Rand, American Liberty League, William Randolph Hearst, the Crusaders, a number of other specific individuals and organizations. So I'm not disagreeing with you entirely. I just think it's important to get more specific. Otherwise, that term foments conflict. Groups. Hold on, I'm not finished. The way that John Spivak put it, he wrote, "It will be shown that financial and economic class considerations," and this is the point, above that term or this term or whatever, communist, Jew, whatever, "it will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind, including racial and religious ones. The anti-Semitic character of Nazism has been abundantly demonstrated in these pages. Nevertheless, this article and succeeding ones will reveal Jewish financiers working with fascist groups, which, if successful, would unquestionably heighten the wave of hate the Jew propaganda." So why would they do that? Why would these people work with groups that would unquestionably heighten the wave of hate the people, working with the people that apparently don't like them, propaganda? Well, because financial and economic class considerations rise above all others. And so what Spivak was saying was these intriguers, as folks like Andrew Jackson would call them, employ these different groups, these different ideologies, fascism, Marxism, communism, this group, that group, to do their bidding. And don't the protocols tell us that, and other things anyway? That's the way Spivak put it.
When did he write that?
1935.
Yeah, well, that's part of my point. That was still while Gentiles were dominant. Jewish took over, total takeover happened around 1948 is what Kevin McDonald argues, that pretty much. And
I would disagree with that.
But what you do is you can also count Jews.
I would say that it was all over, but the crime, by the time the National Security Act of 1947 was passed. But I mean, you go back to like the shows that Bruce and I did a couple of weeks ago, and by the Reconstruction, or by 1871, it was basically done. By the time the Rhodes-Milner Roundtable Group started meeting and the Fabian Socialists were in full swing, I mean, Carol Quigley wrote in the Anglo-American Establishment that those folks started wars around the world, which had already been happening, obviously, but they started all the wars to control the world. And so they weren't dominant? I would have to disagree with
that. Again, you're again going back in time. That's 1970. Now we're in 2015 or 2017. So it's 40 years later. My point is,
no, I'm talking about 1870.
Count them. Go to Google. Get a list from Forbes. The 100 top billionaires. 30%, 33% are Jewish. Look at who owns ABC. Runs ABC, NBC, CBS. All Jewish, right?
Yeah, but who owns the monopoly? Who owns the monopoly, though?
The overrepresentation of Jews, right, is an anthropological phenomenon. We have to be honest about it. They're 3% of the population, and they're overrepresentation in media dominance and in financial dominance and run the federal banks. They never get. It seems like we can't have a Gentile Federal Reserve chairman. Let's be honest about these things. And everybody runs around complaining about George Soros and Jamie Dimon and these other. Well, Jamie Dimon, they say he's a Greek, but still. And nonetheless, there's a vast overrepresentation of Jews. We have to be honest about it.
I would disagree. I think that is a problematic argument. So,
well, yeah, but
Quigley's. Hold on, I listen to you. Hold on, Paul. Quigley's Tragedy and Hope. Quigley knew a lot more than you and I. He had an opportunity for a period of years, 2 years, to investigate secret documents you and I will never probably see. And he wrote that these same folks that started all of the wars from that time, and since when did that stop, to control the world and through intrigue, deception, threat of force, force majeure, if you will, essentially cow every nation in the world to adopt their central bank system, the headquarters in Basel. So you have the central banking cabal, and you're talking about, I would say, low-level players in that game. So the all of the billionaires that you're talking about, as far as the Federal Reserve and the central banks and the names of the folks, I mean, I go to group30.org, the G30, group30.org, and see, to your point, the reason that those names that you're talking about are conscripted to this is because they're good at stuff. Everybody has their part to play on this stage. The Jews that you're talking about are good with money. The radical Islamists are good at creating a social virus of change. And that's where Kelly Greenhill's point about coercive engineered migration comes in. You have the thinkers, you have the doers. Everybody has their part to play on the stage. And I'm not going to get into, you know, the controversy of whose part is what, but group30.org, folks, check it out. Go look at the members. I've said it before. This is where all of the bad ideas come from and they roll out. So yes, there are some of those names that you're talking about, but they're not all Jews and crypto Jews. You know, there are Italians, Sicilians, there are Anglos.
They're overrepresented. That's obvious. Paul,
hold on. I would disagree with that. Go over to Group 30, the Group of 30. Go to their website, group30.org/members. And you will see, I'm telling you, that's where all the bad ideas come from. I don't think that group you're talking about is overrepresented there. I'm not trying to downplay your point. It's valid. But, you know, when you talk about these folks, I mean, if we look higher at who owns the monopoly, if we're playing Monopoly, you and I are playing Monopoly, and some other third party owns the bank on the Monopoly board that we're playing, and that person can make up new script for the game, or they can implement rules that force you and I to do certain things. It doesn't matter how much of that script you and I amass. They own the game, essentially. They own the monopoly. So who are the monopoly owners? Who are the names of the folks that own the Federal Reserve, for example? Because the St. Louis Fed says right on its website, it's not a part of the federal government. Well, then who are the names of the folks that own it? You see what I'm saying?
Well, I would say it's Rothschild. Anyway, one thing, Thomas
13
Jefferson
families,
said,
though, but who are they?
Thomas Jefferson said there is no, I'm paraphrasing, there is no truth I fear nor would want the whole world to know. So to do anthropology publicly and to count different ethnic groups or racial groups and remark and discuss their representation in different fields and endeavors is basically anthropology, and we shouldn't be afraid to do it or discuss it publicly. And that's why we have affirmative action laws too. America already embraced some ethnic gerrymandering, you know. And so we as Gentiles who are being displaced by mass immigration, we need to take our side and become politically active for our ethnic group and not let other ethnic groups dominate us. And that's my concern.
Well, I appreciate your concern. I really do. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to agree to disagree, because I would argue that that posture basically is fomenting further Balkanization. It is it's divisive in nature, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I
think that's why the founders put things the way that they did. I think that's why Jefferson made the allusion to power the way that he did in his bill for the preamble of his bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge, when he said that we should illuminate the minds of the people. The antidote to what we're talking about here, according to Jefferson, the most effectual means, he said, is to illuminate, as far as practicable, the minds of the people at large, and more especially to give them knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth, not of specific names or ethnic groups, but that possess thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, that they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes. That's how he put it. And prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes.
Yeah, but he put that there, but in Query 14 of the Notes of Virginia, he does anthropology, and he does talk about ethnic groups, and does say that if the blacks should ever be freed, we should live separately to preserve the white race. He says that.
That's kind of a...
He does, in Query 14, yes, he does. He says exactly that.
I understand, but that's basically an entirely different discussion. That's not the ethnic groups we're concerned with.
That it ends in that paragraph with that conclusion, that to prevent the white race from being mixed with a black race, if blacks are ever made our equals, we should live separately, he says.
Yeah, I've addressed this conversation before too. That's a kind of a myopic view of Jefferson's views on that issue. But that, again, doesn't concern...
By the way, please read it on your show, Chris. You know, Query 14, you read the sections about how he discusses
blacks. We've done that, Paul.
And their representation. When he does anthropology, because Thomas Jefferson...
We have done that. But again, I'm going to say I disagree, and that really has no bearing on this conversation and this context. Again, I think that's fomenting... division and balkanization, which I don't think is helpful. I'm just going to...
I see it as selective reporting on yours. Selective quoting.
I don't know why you would say that when I'm telling you we've read and discussed Query 14 on this broadcast.
Right.
And what I don't like about that conversation is exactly what's happening. It seems to foment division, and this seems to kind of validate that point.
Well, who says we have to be united all the time?
So, here's the point. Here's the point. If you say that Jews are overrepresented in the highest levels of finance, so to speak, then what do we do?
What
do we do?
We should say, they can have laws for this. They can break up.
I mean, if Jefferson thought that blacks and whites should be mixed, then should we create two separate countries out of America, or send some people somewhere? I mean, at this point, with so many generations now passed, what do we do?
Well, we shouldn't force integrate them, should we? Or coerce it, right?
I'm not for force anything.
Well, that's force what the government anything. Does. Government does that.
But who's behind that?
There's many
who
different factors.
Who are these ideological folks?
What?
Who's pushing the ideology? Or, again, to Jefferson's point, possessed thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes. That's what we don't know. We don't know ambition under all its shapes. My point in mentioning John Spivak in his article series in 1935 was that he said, basically, he named the names very specifically. And I would encourage folks to read that.
Right.
Not just the names of the organizations, not just the names of the ideological groups. He named the ideology, he named the organizations, but he also named specific names that Smedley Butler provided to Congress that were redacted. So who was doing the redaction, and why was that occluded from history? We don't learn that now. Why don't we learn that? The same things are happening now, which we're talking about on this broadcast, and yet we're not enabled to know ambition under all its shapes. So in my opinion, your view here is myopic. You zero in on a group that doesn't include all of the intriguers, and you also amassing that group, you lump in folks that shouldn't be included in there.
Well, we have to be honest. Israel was a major factor in 9/11 and knew about 9/11.
Created Israel.
And what?
Created Israel. This thing, by the way, that's not Israel, the political... the modern geopolitical incarnation of this thing that masquerades as Israel, I don't think is the biblical Israel. So again, we have to define terms. But who created it? Where did that come from?
Well, folks. I know one thing. Israel did 9/11 pretty much.
Well, who created it, though? I mean,
job.
Baron Edmund Rothschild, what was his involvement in that? And he was an admitted Zionist, and even his descendants today say he was. Who are the Zionists? Who are the political Zionists? And what, you know, we need to be a little more clear. I think what you're calling Jew, I would call political Zionist. And even that is not specific enough if we're actually going to name names and call people out. I think spotting ambition, to know ambition under all its shapes is more important. Again, I would encourage folks to go over to the group of 30, group30.org. Those are the folks that gave us all the bad ideas that gave us the subprime contagion of 2007 to 2009. They gave us all of the bad ideas that have resulted in massive inflation. I mean, if you're going to talk about economic intriguers, I say that's that's where ambition under all its shapes is sort of headquartered ideologically these days.
Chris, can I quote Washington before I go, or paraphrase?
Sure, absolutely.
Remember, in his farewell address, Washington said to be careful of artful and a minority, I think it's referred to.
Yep.
An enterprising minority. So a small group of dedicated people can take over the country, they can take over foreign policy, and they can steer that foreign policy for their ends. And I believe the state of Israel and their Zionist agents within the United States have taken over the United States and use the United States as their proxy and as their military might, and have rearranged the Middle East over the since 9/11, which they perpetrated, to get America to fight and break up the Middle East, ultimately for Israeli expansion. So it's important we call out Jews publicly and bring this to light to our fellow Gentiles, to embolden our Gentile brothers, and also to get justice and truth out of what happened on 9/11, who benefited from it, who ran off with the $5 billion in insurance money, and who was behind it.
Listen, this is the way Andrew Jackson put it. You have no longer any cause to fear danger from abroad. It is from within, among yourselves, from cupidity, from corruption, from disappointed ambition and inordinate thirst for power, that factions will be formed and liberty endangered. It is against such designs, whatever disguise the actors may assume, that you have especially to guard yourselves.
That's
the way Andrew Jackson put it. And again, this is, you know, the specificity is left out, I think, for specific reasons. Anyway, Paul, I appreciate your call, and that'll do it for today's broadcast. Going into the weekend, folks, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.